Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Get ready for your brain massage.
What does it mean when Christians say our hearts and prayers are with the families and friends of those dear young people murdered in the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School modern Valentine's Day massacre in Parkland, Florida? I'll explain that. I'll also help Joy Behar understand what Christians mean when they say Jesus speaks to them. In fact, none of those View gals seem to understand that. A little over their head, I guess. You will want an update on the Mueller investigation, I'm sure. More evidence of deep bias that actually turned into actions adverse to justice, that is criminal behavior, in the Obama Justice Department. On the whole, Hillary email issue and reasons to believe the Russian collusion probe was nothing but a cover-up used to hide Hillary's criminal activity from legal scrutiny, an effort to keep it on the level of a scandal and not allow it to become an actual legal issue. Why do progressives love dictators? What's that about? Kim's sister, Kim Yo-Jung, whatever, his sister in crimes against humanity, you know, as lately as 2013. Kim publicly had executed 80 Koreans for possessing Bibles in Christian videos. Can you believe it? And yet, her presence at the South Korean Olympic Games is getting rave reviews from the United States mainstream media. What exactly is all that about? And Schumer complains that Trump is responsible for the DACA debacle? Why? Because he allowed Obama's temporary DACA deal to run out the clock set on it by, Obama and the Democrats, who want this to be a perpetual campaign issue. But it's just like a Democrat to create a problem by their failed policies and then blame the Republicans for the problem their failed policies created. Come on, it's so difficult these days to have an honest discussion about anything, it seems. But we will speak the truth to lies. Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I had the privilege and the honor to attend Awake America's Capital Connection here in Sacramento Monday and Tuesday last week. Had a chance to hear from some God-fearing, wonderful American patriots who serve us in Sacramento. Thank God for them. Got to hear my new friend, Jim Patterson, representative from up there in Fresno. And to meet, I think his name is Pete Gallagly, represents another of the Northern Districts. Had the pleasure to meet Senator Mike Morrell, who made an awesome presentation. Then we had the pleasure to meet Governor Hopeful, Travis Allen, someone I'm taking a pretty close look at. In all, it was an extraordinarily encouraging time, and it's comforting to know there are some genuine God-fearing patriots representing California in that dark place of Sacramento. Our prayers are with you. And here, I just received a notification that parents are removing their children from Santa Maria High after learning of a post appearing in social media of a student of that school holding a gun captioned with an expletive. It turns, I'm reading here that it's a replica of a BB gun pistol, and I guess maybe it does look a little bit like it might be a BB gun, but it didn't have a little orange thing on the nozzle there, so I'm not sure. Authorities are investigating the matter, and I understand the perp has been identified and is being questioned, and then I learned just a little bit ago from my son that he's been arrested. It's getting scary out there, folks, and the scary is coming not only from our own state exposing our children to this kind of grievous danger, but also the danger of distorted reaction to all of this. I mean, no one is going to blame these parents for being concerned. I would certainly pull my child out right now in view of this. But you might remember the brouhaha that followed another travesty like this one, where we had teachers freaking out when a kindergartner scribbled a picture of a gun, and when parents were calling for a ban on children playing with toy guns, this kind of thing. This business is damaging to our, social psyche, if you will, giving people a kind of psycho jitters, provoking responses that actually play into the hands of the devils that are behind these sorts of things. But I get ahead of myself. What is going on with these school shootings? And what is the answer? I mean, what can be done that will effectively address this problem? I'm going to let you know what we really need to be doing here. We keep tearing off the weeds or cutting them down But so long as we leave the root in the ground, the weeds will continue to come back. All right, let's begin with what happened in Florida on Valentine's Day. As if you didn't know, but I want to fill in some details you might have missed. Nicholas Cruz, you know that name in particular, the spelling of that name is Slavic, and it means conqueror of the people. He was adopted, and it seems likely his birth parents were Russian. His adoptive father died when he was 4 years old, and his mother died of complications with the flu a little while back. And by a little while back, I mean a year or so ago. He's been a troubled child, I mean, right from the beginning, not disciplined appropriately at all. For example, some neighbors that were interviewed related an incident. Nicholas was throwing eggs at a neighbor's car. The kids of the family who owned the car chased them away. Nicholas ran home. And when the kids knocked on his door to report the incident to his mother, then living, of course, the mother, they said, had a strange reaction. She said, "Oh no, my son would never do that. He's in bed sleeping." Nicholas was mean. You know, the killing animals for the sheer pleasure of watching them die sort of mean. Torturing little creatures and things. One report says he was diagnosed with autism. No word on whether he was medicated, but they tend to hide that, you might notice, until it's forced out of them practically. That's with the Las Vegas shooter. You know, finally it came out. The guy was using some kind of an emotion or mood controlling drug. Someone posted a notice on YouTube claiming to be a Nicholas Cruz, same name, same spelling, that boasted he intended to become, quote, a professional school shooter, end quote. The FBI was notified, but they tell us they were unable to verify who posted the disturbing boast, and so they dropped the matter. We learned that he was receiving treatment from a mental health facility, but had not seen any of his doctors for about a year at the time of this shooting. He was well known among his peers and on his street in his neighborhood for being a menacing, combative kind of personality, and that led to an increasing alienation between him and his schoolmates and neighborhood. He had a girlfriend that he lost because he was abusive to her. She got another boyfriend, and Nicholas engaged the new boyfriend. They got into a fight, and this led to Nicholas being expelled from the school. The general sentiment among those that were questioned about him was that if anybody was going to do something like this, it would have been Nicholas Cruz. One unconfirmed report says he was a member of a white nationalist group, that is, a white supremacist group. I read in another place that he was affiliated with Antifa, so we'll get to get all this sorted out. You know how these stories are. The school put out a notice to school personnel to watch out for Nicholas coming onto the campus with a backpack. He was specifically told he could not come to school with a backpack. That's interesting. I wonder what that's about. They anticipated a threat from this kid, obviously. So on Valentine's Day, he shows up on campus carrying a black duffel bag holding his AR-15 and sporting a backpack filled with loaded magazines. According to one report, someone spotted him, reported it, but before a code red alert could be announced, the shooting began. I understand from yet another report that the school had what the chief police in the city called, quote, an armed school resource on campus, end quote, but said, quote, he never encountered Cruz, end quote, and one wonders why. That needs to be looked into. We need the sort of armed resource on our campuses that will run toward the danger and, well, not from it. I understand that after a few shots were fired, the code red alert was announced. That should have meant that all classes were locked down, doors locked, students taking cover. But the scene, as it has been consistently described in all the reports I'm reading, have students running wildly away from the massacre. They describe confusion and mass hysteria. One report says that Nicholas pulled the fire alarm to draw students out. But because there had been a fire drill earlier the same day, some students and teachers thought it was a false alarm. And enough of the students, however, were out of classes. And this is how they explain how this happened, so that Nicholas was able to shoot and kill 17, two of them teachers, one of those a coach who threw himself between the shooter and his students, taking, I think I heard something like 15 bullets. So we've got all sorts of red flags that were thrown up on this kid, and apparently no one intervened on a personal level. The first point of failure, obviously, was his mother, who clearly had no clue about properly disciplining her children. You know, protecting him from the consequences of his bad behavior. In that one case I related earlier, that suggests to us that this is probably what she did repeatedly throughout his life, and his behavior suggests that. And apparently, this is going to continue with this kid. I mean, his attorney, a woman, is casting the whole thing as a, quote, troubled kid, end quote, a broken human being, she said, who is, and are you ready for this? Nicholas, quote, is very saddened by what happened, end quote. Saddened by what happened? You know, what, like a hurricane suddenly blew down a building, or an earthquake shook a building down? What? Excuse me? You see what I mean? Give me a break, lady. This thing that happened was committed by a murderer, your client. You see, his mother refused to address his issues, and now he's going to be surrounded by people who are going to protect him from the consequences of his actions. And this society at large is the same thing. They jump in there and deflect responsibility from him to the gun. So, you know, it's the gun that made this happen. This kid has been failed by every authority in his life. His parents did not discipline him, obviously. Society withdrew from him and kicked him to the curb. He finally met with some accountability for his bad behavior when his girlfriend dumped him for abusing her. I think wisely, of course, and the school did expel him. Well, that's actually good. But a lot of times that's what happens. These kind of behaviors are ignored when they're children. Then they get older and they start then dealing with reality. So now you have a 2-year-old responding, I mean, emotionally speaking, responding in a 19-year-old body and throwing a major fit, resulting in the massacre of 17 people. You know how many in this nation want to use what came of this kid's evil heart to infringe upon the natural right of Americans to protect themselves from this very kind of thing? It is astounding. You know, the same kid posted a picture of himself pointing the laser sight of his gun at his own street. All right? You know, at his own, as if he had his neighborhood in mind as a target. Okay. Let's look at the response to all of this and then talk about what really ought to be done. I'm going to speak to it more thoroughly Sunday night in a special Issachar report at Sunday night at 6 p.m. Of course, there is the cliched response from the left that we've come to expect. We must ban the assault weapon. No one needs an assault weapon. And it's nonsense because any weapon can be called an assault weapon or used in an assault. I mean, it's about taking away the people's right or infringing upon the people's right to own a weapon they can use to defend themselves from people like Nicholas, who could someday come walking down their street. But quickly, listen to them, because they will tell you what is in their heart and on their agenda if you listen. By them, by the way, I mean those who believe that taking guns away from law-abiding citizens is somehow the answer to criminals or crazies using guns to commit crimes. What is this insanity? Garen Wintemute, I'm going to guess at the pronunciation, won't take the time to look it up right now, director of the Violence Prevention Research Program at UC Davis Medical Center said, quote, a gun violence restraining order could have made the difference here, end quote. Now, a gun violence restraining order is a means by which a citizen in California might be determined to be a threat to others and have a temporary restraining order filed against him or her, prohibiting that person from possessing firearms. This allows authorities to demand that he or she turn in whatever guns he or she might have to the authorities and or allows the authorities to actually go into the person's home and to remove any firearms he might have in his possession. So it's pretty serious stuff. So by the way, they do this with firearms, usually drawn and readied when they come to get yours. This sounds reasonable enough, doesn't it? To a lot of people. However, like FISA, right? We've been talking about that lately. A government program by which the government can get permission to ignore a citizen's Fourth Amendment protection against unlawful search and seizure and intrusion into his private affairs, you know, private documents and conversations and so on, just as that right can be abused by the government through a FISA court and then used to attack a political opponent and violate their privacy rights and violate their constitutionally protected inalienable rights. Well, such laws like these are liable to abuse, in this case, to violate Second Amendment rights. So citizens need a ready recourse and path to redress the government in cases like this when these things are abused. But wait for it now, because the real heart of this, of the people who are behind this whole business, is revealed from the mouth of one Ms. Amanda Wilcox, legislative advocate for the California chapters of the Brady campaign. She explained the problem with the gun violence restraining orders is that it doesn't go far enough because, you see, she said, quote, the problem is there are people who are not prohibited from owning a gun. They haven't committed a crime yet. They have never been hospitalized for mental health, yet they are at risk for violence, end quote. Excuse you. Oh, my God, help us. Do you see how these people, they just don't believe anybody ought to have a gun, you know? Of course, the gun grabbers use every such occasion to pitch their anti-gun policies to the American people because hearts are stirred, emotions are high. Every time someone uses a weapon to commit atrocities like this, the gun grabbers think, well, the answer is to take guns away from those who never committed any such thing, who never committed any kind of violent crime at all, much less something like this. It's ironic, isn't it? Because I believe that life-threatening drugs ought to be outlawed and resources should be committed to pursuing drug pushers and drug abusers. But the left says the war on drugs is a failure and that we should withdraw from it because, well, it's an unwinnable war and we can't keep drugs off the street. So let's legalize them. But somehow, magically, they believe gun laws are going to keep guns off the streets? Amazing. All the laws that have been passed against drugs have never resulted in drugs being swept off our streets. But they suppose a law against assault weapons will magically make assault weapons disappear? Okay, so the counter-argument. Well then, Jerry, why do you support laws against harmful life-damaging drugs but will not support laws against these harmful life-damaging guns? You know, friend, it really isn't complicated. The simple fact is people do not have an inalienable natural right to destroy themselves with life-threatening drugs, and certainly there is no natural inalienable right to peddle these addictive, life-destroying drugs. However, we do have a natural and inalienable right to self-defense, and therefore a right to keep and bear arms sufficient to that defense. So anyway, the next argument. But that will have to be on the other side of our break. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Dr. Scheidbach is a well-respected expert on Bible prophecy. His emphasis is on what the Bible actually teaches about the end times, so don't expect any sensationalism or exaggerated claims or irresponsible date setting. Rather, exciting Bible truth about the future and how to interpret current events in the light of biblical prophecy. Christ chastised those who could not discern the signs of the times. Learn how in this exciting series, taught with charts, graphs, and many visuals, along with notes that are available online for those who register for the course. Better bring your diving gear, because Dr. Scheidbach takes you deep into the waters of God's Word to make plain the mysteries of biblical prophecy at the Lighthouse. Begins February 18th. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I detailed what actually happened on Valentine's Day in that high school in Florida in the first segment. We started addressing the solution to the problem when we went to break. Editorial groupthink at Mercury News here in California says that keeping guns away from mentally ill persons is not enough. Why? Well, 96% of violent acts in the United States are committed by people with no mental illness. Mentally ill people are much more likely to be victims of violence than culprits. That's quote unquote. So they go on to say, by the way, the elephant in the room is assault weapons. If only we did not have assault weapons, then we would not have this problem. How foolish. Why do we provide guns to our law enforcement personnel? We provide weapons to law enforcement personnel in order to protect us from others who gain access to such weapons legally or illegally. And that is why the people need to have their right to keep and bear arms protected. The exact same reason, protection. The fact that people misuse weapons is the reason we need law enforcement to have weapons. And the fact that there are Nicholas Cruz crazies out there is the reason we must protect the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Now, next, we know for a fact that there are going to be people who are evil and will prey on innocent citizens. Such things are going to occur. Therefore, we provide arms and law enforcement personnel to patrol our streets and to be on guard, to protect, and to serve, right? How absolutely foolish would it be for us to fail to prepare for what we know is going to happen? Someone is going to violate someone, and so we must prepare. And how do we prepare for violent crimes? We invest resources in a police force equipped to address these criminals when they present. So, when will the left finally understand that school shootings happen, that they are going to happen, and that therefore we need to equip the schools with what is necessary to defend our kids, just like we equip for the defense against criminals in society generally? Instead of creating school zones that are virtual killing fields for hate-filled criminals like Nicholas Cruz, let's do what any rational, sane person would do. Prepare for the next assault. Put 3 or 4 retired vets or officers on these campuses to patrol them every day. Set up the surveillance cameras necessary to set watch over our schools, with communications set up to quickly alert the defenders so they can respond immediately to such a threat. Prepare for the next assault, because we know it's going to happen. Look, so long as we keep looking at the gun as the problem and fail to see that the problem is in the heart of the perpetrators of these heinous acts, we're never going to address the problem. Only 40 years ago, every truck on every high school campus had a shotgun or some other rifle in the window, and we never dealt with this kind of problem. What changed is not the availability of guns or the type of guns available. What has changed is for 40 plus years now, we have allowed these foolish people to manipulate us into removing the Ten Commandments from the walls of our schools, the Bible from their textbooks, and prayer from their classrooms. We have kicked God out of our schools and then wonder where he is when such things occur. It is a matter of incontrovertible fact that back when the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ was the source of our understanding about morals and shaped our values, we didn't have this kind of problem. I tell you what is the elephant in the room in this debate. Well, it's not the assault weapon. It's the ongoing assault on our Christian heritage that has been going on for the past 50 years in this country. The assault weapon that is responsible for this is not the AR-15, but a systematized inculcation of godless humanism into the minds and hearts of the last five generations in this country. Educators trained as change agents, commissioned to fundamentally transform our culture from one that is premised upon the values and shapes that are shaped by our Christian heritage to beliefs and values that are shaped by Antichrist, Christ-despising, God-hating, godless humanism. But, you see, socialism requires a humanist basis. Think about that. And tyrants, by the way, feed on people freed from under God. Submit to the God of our fathers or be ruled by heathen tyrants. That's the truth of it, my friends. Come Sunday night, I'll lay out a plan for addressing this problem beginning in our homes, churches, and cities. Okay, on to some other things for a while now. The Russian collusion probe has come up with nothing, at least nothing that connects Trump in any collusion with Russia to interfere with the election. Of course, evidence of Obama-Hillary collusion with Russia is screaming for justice, but our Justice Department apparently has other concerns at present. Jeff Sessions is almost as invisible as John Galt. Sessions appears to be crouching down in Galt's Gulch, waiting for the bureaucracy driven by the Obama-Hillary-Mueller motor of treason to seize up. Actually, I'm beginning to wonder what Hillary has on Sessions. Well, anyway, Mueller has recently handed out indictments to 13 Russians accused of tampering with our election. Sorry, Trump haters, no blood in the water yet. Well, no Trump blood. Meanwhile, more emails have been extracted from the FBI that prove collusion of another kind. Collusion of Obama's political apparatchik to undermine and finally to remove Trump from office. That's right, my friends, it's increasingly clear that the deep state Obama bots were actually conspiring to, as they continue to do this, as they popularly call it, resist, to join the resist movement. It's an organized effort to resist the Trump presidency. It's a political coup. The emails were pulled out of the FBI through an FOIA lawsuit. That's a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit filed by Judicial Watch. God bless them. It was rather like yanking jaw teeth from a leopard. But I think there is another side to this coin. The flip side is a concerted effort to provide cover for the Obama-Hillary-Russian collusion in the matter of Uranium One and in the matter of the election. The illegal use of government power to violate an American citizen's privacy, encroaching on his Fourth Amendment protections. I think it's becoming increasingly clear that this investigation was designed, I think maybe from the beginning, to keep attention off Hillary and Obama for their criminal activity that amounts to treason against these United States of America. You see, as I've often said, these are clever devils. Keep the Hillary email thing and the Uranium One deal and other evils these two have engaged in at America's expense. Do it by politicizing their criminal behavior and in this way cause everyone around them to buzz with conspiracy theories and heated gossip and outrageous scandal. And all that relieves a great deal of the pressure from the issue, keeping it just behind the line of a serious criminal investigation. Think about this. That's what the Russia collusion investigation has achieved, whether or not that is what was intended. But I think that was a large part of the motivation from the beginning. Keep the other team on defense by launching an offense that never lets up. It's brilliant. But like Satan, who transforms himself so he appears as an angel of light, but never is one, and like the devil who goes about as a roaring lion, but never is one, must someday face the angel of light that is one, and the lion of the tribe of Judah that is not as a lion, but is a lion, when all the fake news finally comes face to face with the truth, then the truth will come out. Did you see the picture of Adam Schiff announcing the Democratic response to the Republican memo? If not, you need to Google it. It's priceless. He looks like the proverbial deer caught in the headlights. He has that stunned, wide-eyed, blank stare look that you see in the eyes of a deer when confronted with the bright headlights of an oncoming semi. Adam Schiff looks like a criminal caught in the bright light of an oncoming truth. The corruption in the FBI and the DOJ is corroding confidence in justice in America. It is a particularly malodorous part of the swamp. It needs to be drained. Mueller needs to be called down. He needs to be told to begin closing down this farce, and then he needs to be named among the conspirators involved in hiding Hillary from criminal prosecution. That needs to happen, and it needs to happen soon. I can only hope that Sessions did put some pressure on Mueller to begin closing down his resist operation within the FBI, and that this accounts for Mueller's move to go ahead and hand down 13 indictments against Russian nationalists for alleged election tampering. Let's hope this is the prelude to closing down this Trump headhunting expedition. Why do progressives love dictators? Kim's sister in crimes against humanity. Remember, as I mentioned earlier, as lately as July of 2013, Kim publicly had executed 80 Koreans for possessing Bibles and Christian videos. Oh, what a crime! And yet her presence at the South Korean Olympic Games is getting rave reviews from the United States mainstream media. What exactly is that all about? I mean, the sight of American media drooling over the sister of Kim Jong-un, that's Kim's Goebbels, by the way, his propaganda chief, it reminds us of those in the MSM who have drooled over Castro and Chavez and earlier Pol Pot, Stalin even. All of these monsters are beloved in American media culture. These sulfur worms mourned the passing of a statesman, Chavez? Really? What we need to understand is that these people are not American. I don't mean they don't have citizenship and they're illegals. They're not American. They hate this country. They want to destroy it. They want to make it like Venezuela and Cuba and you name it. You have never heard the American mainstream gush over anything truly American, over anything representing America as founded, like you hear them gush over the insane, murdering dictator Kim. Did you know that the New York Times supported Joseph Stalin, right along with FDR, by the way, even while he was murdering 12 million Ukrainians? The New York Times flattered the Khmer Rouge while Pol Pot covered Cambodia in the blood of all he considered politically unsuited to his regime under the approving headline in America in the New York Times that read, quote, "For most, a better life," end quote. Really? Well, that turned out to be one of the great lies of the 20th century. Think about it. They have maligned George Washington and praised Chairman Mao. They have criticized America at every turn while praising Chavez and Idi Amin. And, well, I got to wrap up the show for today. So what does it mean when we say our hearts and prayers are with you? Well, it means we mourn with those who mourn and weep with those who weep in Florida. It means that we care and we'll do what we can to minister to your broken hearts by financial gifts where appropriate and possible and needed by reaching out. And it means that while we reach out to you who are hurting, we will also at the same time reach up to the Master Healer on your behalf in earnest and fervent prayers for you. As we're talking to Jesus and having him talk back, I've run out of time, but that is part of my message for Sunday night at 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse. But here's a little something to leave you with. Remember when Hillary channeled Eleanor Roosevelt? She communed with her, talked to her, and Eleanor talked back. In October of 2012, Hillary called Hubby Bill when he was on his way to a dedication of the FDR Four Freedoms Park and reminded him to mention this in the ceremony commemorating Roosevelt with the surviving Roosevelt family in attendance. According to Bill, Hillary called him and told him, tell the audience that Eleanor has told her to remind the Roosevelts that when she was in the White House with her hubby Bill, that she often communed with Eleanor. I remember this, do you? Hillary practicing necromancy, talking to the dead. What did the left do with that then? Nothing. They took it in stride. No big deal. If any comment was made about it from the left, it was positive. But let a Christian say he communes with Christ, and it's scary, it's weird, it's bizarre, it's, well, insane. First off, at least Jesus isn't dead. So Pence cannot be accused of necromancy. I'll address this fully Sunday night, 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Dr. Scheidbach is a well-respected expert on Bible prophecy, and he'll be providing his course in Santa Maria on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. To register, call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org.